RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Joe, Merry freaking Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas, gentlemen. You know, today is Festivus. Before I get into my... and I got a lot to complain about. I have to ask both you two guys are giant guys.
Yep.
Okay? And both of you are. Would John Mara, who I know absolutely despises the Jets, would he trade with, if you guys get the number one pick, would he trade with the Jets, you know, so we could get Mendoza?
I think he would. I think he would. Mainly, Joe, because the Giants need so much more elite talent. And the only chance to get that, because they don't have any cap space, is in the draft.
Right. Yeah.
And so, honestly, for you, though, Joe, it's going to depend on where you finish.
Yeah,
like, if you mess around and win a game.
They're not winning.
Tiki, hold on.
Tiki, you played the Patriots and the Bills. What win?
True, right?
What are you talking about?
But let's just say you mess around and win a game. Then all of a sudden, you got a long way to go. But I think going from 4 to 1, that's not that hard.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see them going to 1. It would be great if that happened. They wouldn't have to give up any draft capital to get the quarterback. But come on, right now they'd have a hard time beating Indiana or Ohio State. I mean, you know, come on. I mean,
it's really amazing.
Don't you hate when your team gets to that point?
You know what?
Where you start talking about they're worse than the best college teams.
Yes. But I'm so what if college guys get paid now too? So you know, I'm so used to it, but I'm so disgusted. I mean, between I'm going to be nice, and it's a family show. Between between what Steve Cohen and David Stearns have done to my baseball team, and the fact that this Jet season has turned into a unmitigated disaster outside of the moves. I mean, look, I give Muji credit; he did a great job getting all those draft picks.
Yeah, right.
You know. But, I mean, there's a lot to complain about.
I mean, it was bad on Sunday. I didn't think it was that bad to make you sick, Joe. I mean,
Yeah, I wasn't good. Let me tell you, honestly, seriously, guys, I was in bed all day yesterday. I mean, I got up and I couldn't. That's it. I said, bed. I told my wife, I got to go back to bed. I didn't get up all day. I didn't even eat. I didn't even eat yesterday. Didn't eat. Didn't take a shower, and that never happened. That's how bad I was.
I'm glad that we're on Zoom right now.
I showered now. Don't worry.
So Joe, you mentioned obviously trading up. I think the Giants would do it. To me, they're going to trade to the highest bidder. This is going to be unique because I think it's more than I was arguing about this with Evan last week. More than matching up on the charts thing. If the Jets and Raiders, and this becomes like a slight bidding war to trade up with the Giants, got to that point. Is there a point where you would bow out and be okay if the Raiders were the ones that traded with the Giants, though? How badly do you want Mendoza?
Do the Raiders have what we have to give? You know, I think that's
exactly it. So, yeah. I mean, but you to do I mean? That, yeah, you're going to have to give up probably what? You know, the, well, besides the swap.
Well, let me ask you, Sean, because you're a big Giant fan, and Tiki, you know, both of you guys. So let's say, you know, Muji goes to Shane and says, look, you know, here's the deal.
Right.
We'll give you our number one. Obviously, you're going to switch number ones.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we'll give you the Colt pick at whatever, and that's getting better and better all the time.
Oh, yeah, don't doubt.
They're sinking fast. We'll give you a number one this year, the Colt pick. We'll give you a number one next year. We'll give you a number two this year and a number two next year. Would you do it?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, no doubt. I think that's Joe. I know we're not allowed to think this way, but there's a chance that actually works out for both the Jets and Giants.
Yeah,
and I think we
of course.
Walk away very happy.
Of course.
Boy, wouldn't that be a novel concept?
Wow.
The other thing I would tell you guys, though, we keep focusing on the Raiders and them competing with the Jets and asking, do they have it?
Cleveland?
Do they have it? Yeah, man. Cleveland's lurking after that draft trade last year with Jacksonville. They have the capital, too, Joe.
Yeah. Are they completely not sold on Sanders, though? I mean,
I don't think so. But I think what might happen, Joe, is that Stefanski gets fired.
Right.
I mean, Stefanski gets fired. And whoever comes in doesn't like any other quarterback situations. You know what I mean? Because it's just bad there. From Gabriel, he's too little. Shador Sanders has been inconsistent.
Are they still paying Deshaun Watson too?
And Deshaun Watson, yes, they're still on their books. And so, we think our teams are bad. That's a cluster.
No, it's a total cluster. But that's why I think, you know, if you bring somebody new in there, they might look at those picks and go, I like Fernando Mendoza. This is what could change us forever.
Right.
And that I think they're like the secret team that's lurking. You know, Joe, we also talked about earlier, everything that's suddenly happening with the Ravens since that horrible loss on Sunday night, they kind of feel like they could be disbanding a little bit. I don't think this is likely.
John Harbaugh?
We're talking about John Harbaugh to the Giants, but even the idea of could Baltimore actually look to get out of Lamar Jackson after this year? Would you rather a Lamar Jackson on a hefty salary or start over trading up the picks to get a Mendoza?
You know, as good as Jackson is, and you know, I honestly, he's very good. I look at him as a little overrated, a little bit. I'm not saying he's not tremendous. He's got two MVPs, but he doesn't win in the playoffs. He's never been to a Super Bowl. He's been banged up a lot this year. Honestly, guys, seriously, and I really mean this, okay? I want my guy. I want to get, for the first time since Joe Namath, I want my quarterback. Does that make sense to you?
No, it does, because you want to draft your look, it's okay if you get a veteran that comes in and he wins for a couple of years and whatever it is.
Right.
But very rarely is that going to be like Matt Stafford, right? Matt Stafford was really good in Detroit. They sucked as a team, but he was really good.
Tremendous.
He goes to L.A. He's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's better as a Ram.
I mean, look at a team he's
right,
got.
Look, if he somehow plays another 2 years, let's say wins another Super Bowl, whatever. I'm just doing that to make him a Hall of Famer. And he goes in the Hall of Fame. Is he going in as a Detroit Lion, or is he going in as an L.A. Ram?
No, he's a Ram.
Exactly.
He's a Ram now.
Now, think about that. This is Matt Stafford. He was like...
Yeah.
He was.
Now you're right.
And so, but that's rare. My point is, that's very rare. And so you need to kind of do it yourself. Get a kid young, build him up, put good stuff around him. You know, win while he's young and you haven't paid him yet, and then ultimately you have a franchise quarterback. But it feels like it's easy. It's just not easy to do.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, we haven't had one in 60 years, so I gotta ask both of you guys this too. This talk about trading Dart, what are you nuts?
No.
I mean, come on,
Evan's bringing that up because he's trying to.
But get Dart to the Jets?
No, I think maybe. But I think he's.
Well, that would never happen. The Giants would never make that trade.
Absolutely not. I think he's trying to say whenever the new coach comes in, if the new coach doesn't like Jackson Dart, or I don't know why he wouldn't, don't you have to have an open mind about who the quarterback, the new head coach wants.
And this is what I would say about Dart too, Joe, is if the Giants, like let's say we find out in another year, you know what, maybe we overrated Dart to start.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is why I want that number one pick in the trade out, because you talked about getting that extra one next year. Well, what the hell's to stop the Giants? If Dart stinks, then the Giants are going to stink next year. They'll be right back in the mix. I have no problem waiting a year and drafting a quarterback after that. Why would I give up on him after year one?
Right. Well, the guy that I really want more than anybody is next year, and that's Arch Manning. Now, yeah.
Who got better as the year went on, Joe?
Bro, I'm telling you, you know this as well as I. Look, there's no guarantees for quarterbacks, anything in the NFL as far as coming from college, but certainly quarterbacks. But everything, you know, he's gotten better, like you said. Texas mm-hmm. should have been in the playoff, but that's for another day.
Yeah. Had a better case than Notre Dame, but I digress.
Well, I mean, they probably did, but Notre Dame should have been there, too. I mean, do I need to see James Madison and Tulane in the playoffs?
No.
I mean, come on.
No.
You know, but be that as it may. You know, I like Manning. He's got the Manning pedigree. You know, he's going to play another year. He probably wants to see if he can win the Heisman Trophy, too, because none of the Mannings ever won it.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably a factor, too. But, you know, I'll put it this way, where I look at it with the Jets. If they don't get Mendoza, I don't want to stretch for a quarterback. Don't do that. You know, that to mm-hmm. me, that's a mistake. Yeah. You know, they did that with Zach Wilson, you know, and it turned out to be a complete disaster. You know, let's say the Jets go 4. I don't know where the Colt pick is now, 16, 17, whatever it is right now. I would just go and take the two best defensive players I can get. That's what I do because the defense is such a mess. Mm-hmm. Give me the two best. It doesn't matter the position. Don't matter. Two best defensive players I can get. We also have two number two picks.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe get another. And maybe, look, I don't know where he's going to wind up. But you know, I've told you this, Teak. I love Diego Pavia.
Yeah.
I know he's small.
Yeah.
But if you can get him second, third round,
right, he's
worth taking a shot.
He's worth taking a flyer on because you just don't know how he's going to. If he can play on the league.
Right.
The Colts pick is currently 18, Joe. So, look, if I'm the Jets, your offensive line feels like it's getting there. You got two edges that you're
Simpson stinks, but he's a free agent.
Right.
Gone.
So, yeah, but you can bring someone in free agent.
Right.
You got a ton of cap space. But you got your two tackles. You got a good run game right now. You got one of the best wide receivers in football. And you
got to get him healthy.
You need defense, and you probably need another wide receiver. Right, I don't know how deep this wide receiver draft is this year. Last year,
I think
there's always good wide receivers.
Well, how about the kid from Ohio State, Jeremiah Smith? Is he coming out?
No, that's next year. Carnell Tate's the one coming out this year.
I don't know if he's as good as Smith, though.
Yeah. I'll tell you who I love is Texas A&M, that Concepcion is going to go in the first
round,
good.
Too. Yeah, he's fast, too.
Yeah.
He's very fast. Yeah, no question about that.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time.
Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Lamar Jackson has one more year of totally, like, fully guaranteed money.
Yes.
So that makes him kind of tough to cut slash trade this year. His dead cap would be $86 million. I only bring up Lamar Jackson's name again because I think the Denver Broncos are kind of proven a myth a little bit, and maybe they're the only outlier, and that is you can survive as an NFL franchise with an enormous dead cap hit like they did with Russell Wilson.
Right.
If you have the right people in charge and the right quarterback and all of this.
And a young quarterback.
And a young quarterback.
A young quarterback that's good.
Exactly.
Because Bo Nix is good. He's not top 10, but he's good.
And you're not paying him a lot of money in that
right.
way. So Baltimore's not really in the spot. We'll see what they do in the draft. However, Tiki, and this is now another year where Lamar Jackson injuries have taken the toll on the win-loss record. And then you see him leave the game on Sunday night. I think that a split is coming in Baltimore. Whether that's Lamar or whether that's Harbaugh, I lean towards I think Harbaugh is going to be done. And I think the Ravens probably owe it to keep Lamar and try him with a new head coach and see something different.
Yeah.
But, maybe the Ravens look for a reset here. And if they do, Evan was so anti-Lamar Jackson a couple weeks ago when we brought this up. I'm re-bringing this to the table because now there's 2 weeks left in the year, and we know the Ravens are probably not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Would you be interested if you don't have the first overall pick?
I would.
You would be.
I would absolutely be too. I don't know how you can't be interested in Lamar Jackson. Because, I know that this year has been somewhat of a disaster. He missed, five games at the beginning of the season? Something like that. Four or five games. They started the year 1-5. They were worse than the Giants.
I think Cooper Rush was playing.
Yeah,
right?
It was bad. And then he comes back, and then they start winning again. Now, it's not pretty because he hasn't had reps in a month and a half, and it was ugly football. But ultimately, they found ways to win games. And a lot of that was because of Lamar Jackson. You know, he'd have three touchdown passes or two touchdown passes. He wasn't putting up humongous MVP-type statistics. But Lamar Jackson's a winner, and he's always been a winner. And so you'd be crazy. He's only 28 years old?
Final Lamar Jackson.
He's 28 years old. Just turned, he'll be 29 in January. So he's still very young.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking. He's got the MVP pedigree. He's an uber athlete. He doesn't take a ton of contact. Now maybe he's got to work on his hamstring strength because I think that's what keeps nagging him. But Lamar Jackson is a star. Like, you'd be crazy not to consider Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, and I have no doubts that the Jets, if they made a trade, would have to give up maybe 2 ones, right? But they have these 4 ones set up. My point is, it might cost them less than trading up for the young Fernando Mendoza, or if they ended up liking Dante Moore. And I just don't know, and Evan was so against this. I don't know how you as a Jet fan sit there, and I'm asking you guys out there at 888-808-1019, you're amped up for Aaron Rodgers, who we knew was approaching 40, retiring a couple years ago. And you want to say you learned your lesson from mistakes like that? I get it. But a Lamar Jackson MVP candidate, injuries be damned, at 29 years old, maybe looking for a change of scenery, that is how you jumpstart an organization.
That is,
I'm a moron.
Yes, well, you jumpstart the organization, and it also allows, I think, Aaron Glenn and Tanner Engstrand, the offensive coordinator, to run the offense that they want to run.
Like, yes.
Let's not forget with Justin Fields. All of the talk this offseason with this Jet offense was it's going to be run heavy. It's going to be you're going to run the football. Breece Hall is going to get a ton of carries. We're going to just grind it out, and Justin Fields is going to be a part of that. Well, Justin Fields isn't. I mean, he wants to be a drop back passer,
right?
Even though he's a really good athlete,
right?
Lamar Jackson is going to do whatever makes you successful. If he has to run, he'll run.
Yep.
If he can throw the ball and he's got confidence, he's going to throw the football.
And he doesn't take the big hits. Like, he's learned 100%. What Jackson Dart hasn't yet.
I think Lamar Jackson makes this offense the run offense that Aaron Glenn wants.
No doubt.
But again, this is a pipe dream.
Of course. I don't think, and I want to make this very clear, I'm not saying this because I think it's going to happen. If you had to ask me right now today, and I don't think I would have said this 3 days ago, I think John Harbaugh is going to be out in Baltimore and Lamar Jackson is going to stay with a new head coach. But you never know with these teams. And if I've learned anything about the NFL the last 5 years, it's gone more the way of the NBA, which is expect the unexpected. Mm-hmm. Certain players and everything. What we talk about in October, well, who do you think is going to be available?
Yeah, there are no guarantees.
Surprises always happen every year. And 100%. If this is a surprise that falls in the lap, the New York Jets need to be all over this. 888-808-1019. Carlos in Hicksville. Carlos, what's up?
Carlos.
Hello, guys.
What's up, dude?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All's well.
How you doing? Happy New Year.
You too.
I just wanted to ask you guys something. Actually, I wanted to talk to you about something. As I was hearing you guys, you started talking season in general for sports. And to be honest, if you allow me just to indulge a little bit in running down the different four major sports in New York, I mean, the Giants and Jets, I don't have too much confidence in them in 2026. Even though I do see a new quarterback coming to the Jets.
Right.
And possibly a new head coach. Well, there's going to be a new head coach in the Giants.
Right.
I heard they were talking about this head coach from Notre Dame as being a possible candidate. But for the Mets and the Yankees, especially with the purge going on with the Mets, I don't see too much of a confidence in terms of what they're going to bring back to the team. And I think it has something to do with the CBA upcoming and 2026 expiring.
Yep.
But I don't have much confidence in basketball. In terms of,
baseball.
In terms of basketball, the Nets are not going to go anywhere for a while.
Right. But the Knicks are exciting as hell, man.
The Knicks are very excited, but I still have to tamper my confidence because their expectation level is so high this year compared to last year when they made it to the finals.
You got to embrace that.
I know, but don't you love that? You're a Knicks fan. Are you a Knicks fan, Carlos?
I am. I am a Knicks fan.
So, I mean, you should embrace that. What was the last time? Yeah. I mean, when was the last time you could have this kind of optimism about your team? And for the most part, I mean, save the Philadelphia whatever issue, like that game 2 nights ago, whatever it was, 3 nights ago. Other than that, they win.
They win. You know what it is? He pointed out.
And they do it in so many different ways.
But all the other sports have scarred them. You're trained in New York now. We are beating down dogs.
Yeah.
You're trained.
I mean, I can see
the
that.
Worst.
I can see that.
You know? I mean, even
get into hockey.
I forget about it.
I mean, serious. We know about the Rangers. The Devils were the hottest team in the East until Jack Hughes cut his hand open, and now they can't win a damn game.
It's crazy.
Even though I think he is coming back.
He's got to be soon. Any day, right?
He came back on Sunday.
Did he? He came back Sunday? I totally missed that.
Yeah, him and
he scored.
He scored. Right, Tate McRae was there, so yes.
Mm. Ah, I totally
on
missed
the
that
ice
Sunday.
He scored.
On the ice. Oh, I see.
You see where I'm going with that?
Yes.
That one went over my head. Yeah, I should be back.
I think the reports are that they're dating. Yes. I don't know if that's confirmed.
Yeah, they were out to dinner at some New York City thing.
And she just randomly showed up at a Devil game re-debut for the season.
You just reminded me something. I don't know if I totally hit holiday mode. This is the only day I'm working. Like, I was off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, off starting tomorrow. Today, I swear to Tiki, I'm going through show topics and everything. I'm going through them, and I'm looking at baseball free agency stuff. And I said to myself, I go, man, when is this Murakami stuff coming to an end? The Yankees really should get involved. I see him pop up with a White Sox jersey. I miss Murakami signing with when the hell did that happen?
It happened basically yesterday or 2 days ago.
2 days ago. So I missed that. I missed Jack Hughes returning. That happened Saturday.
No, man, I think I need to watch this F1 movie.
That's all over Apple right now. Oh, is that what she's in?
Yeah.
Tate McRae's in?
It's a rabbit hole you can't get out of.
I don't even want to look right now.
Well, you know, Tiki, listen, there's not really a lot you got to do in the next couple days for Christmas. I think it's a nice, fun family film.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
What does it take, you know, for a team to become, I don't want to, I'm not going to say dominant like at the Rams level or where the Niners are, but let's, in a slow build, what does it take to become a respectable NFL football team that if step one is going to be challenging for a playoff spot, which I think is where these teams want to be sooner rather than later, what's the biggest thing they need to do and to get right here?
Well, you need competent quarterback play and you need a defense. I think there are certain teams that pop off the tape that have that. And maybe they're not elite, but they at least give you the feel they can make it run, especially come January. It's like when you look at the Jaguars, right? You have Trevor Lawrence and what he's been able to do this year. He's had some signature wins, especially against the Chiefs. Obviously, he had a big one in Denver. And that defense was really kind of stepped up, led by Trayvon Walker. And Liam Cohen, being a young head coach, really a lot those guys have brought into his system. So that's one team. And then you also look at the Chargers. You know, I mean, everything Jim Harbaugh's everything he's been able to do with his Niner career, his Michigan career, and then land in L.A. with Justin Herbert. Defense has been able to close out games. Herbert's been, you know, he's been money good and tough. And all, on top of that, they have a damn good kicker. So there are teams, when you talk about what do you need? You need competent quarterback play. You need a head coach with a vision who's decisive. And you need, who can, you know, really build a culture and a defense that can help you close out games and stand up in situational moments. And you, if you're able to have those three components, man, you're going to be where you need to be come December, or at least fighting for a chance to land in January.
All right, so the obvious question is with the Jets, and we're putting the coaches aside, obviously, because we know that situation. Aaron Glenn is here. I assume he's going to be here next year. I know there's been rumblings from certain media.
Which is nonsense.
He's not going anywhere, not I don't believe.
Yeah.
The Giants have to figure out their situation at coach. So the biggest pressing need for the Jets is going to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
Do you think that they will be in play to make, whether it's the Giants, I can't imagine the Raiders would trade the pick if they got the number one pick with their situation, but if it was the Giants, do you see a scenario where the Jets and the Giants could get together to make a trade to where the Jets, if they like Mendoza, that seems to be the hot name, obviously, at Indiana, do you see a scenario where they would get together and make a move?
Yes, the scenario exists. I wouldn't go get a quarterback in this draft because I think Mendoza, he's the only quarterback that's worthy of taking a shot at. Everybody else is a project. I think if you look at this Jets roster, they need more talent. They need more help in the back end as far as the secondary. Their linebacker, I mean, Quincy Williams will be gone. You signed Sherwood, so you're going to need more linebacker play. And you got to figure out what you're going to do with Jermaine Johnson. You know what I mean? And what are you going to do with Will McDonald? So I think there's just too many answers on defense that you can answer in this draft. Offensively, I think you have to figure out how can you continue to help Garrett Wilson. And you need better tight end play. So I think you just got to continue to build this team up through the draft, going after a guy who you're going to have to develop and figure out if he's going to be your guy in the next year or two. I think that you go out and get yourself a bridge quarterback. You take a shot at Mac Jones. Maybe you kind of see if you can get a Kyler Murray. Until you feel like in the draft you have your guy, well, there's at least a wealth of quarterbacks you can lean on and say, hey, if we do pick a guy we feel like we're comfortable with.
Would those guys, though, because I think the two names you just brought up are, I would think, are very possible. are those bridge quarterbacks, though, or are those guys that are going to want money, like, and legitimate
contracts? Yeah, the Jets
contracts?
Have the money to do so, but I think you can buy yourself some time with getting one of those guys, because I think the goal is to be able to compete on Sunday, right? And you got to give a guy, if you're like, think about what Patrick Mahomes came into. He had Kelce, he had offensive line, he had a good head coach, he had Kareem Hunt, he had Tyreek Hill, he had pieces around him. So when he got the nod to be the starting coach, starting quarterback, once Alex Smith left, everything was in place for him, right? So if you're going to get a young quarterback, make sure things are in line with his development, and that wherever his trajectory may go, it's only upward and forward, because everybody around him can, or playing at a high level, or at least can help him be the best he can be at the position. So, but if he doesn't have that, then you're just relying on scheme and him trying to be the outlier, and that's tough in this league.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that fit is everything in a lot of cases. If you don't fit the system you're in, you may not be as good a quarterback as you could be.
Sure.
And for home, you know, it's interesting you bring up the Mahomes situation, because he has been off the charts amazing since he's been here, but I don't really think of it in the terms you just put it in, that he was the last piece.
Correct.
To fit that puzzle.
Correct.
Whereas most teams look for the quarterback to be the first piece.
And that's tough, because you're waiting on one. Like, Caleb is in a great position, because when Ben Johnson came, and it was tough, because I think when they hired Ben Johnson, they expected it to be a rubber stamp situation. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, this is what you did in Detroit, doing in Chicago. But you still got to build the team up, right? They had to go get a couple pieces on the offensive line. They had to go get Cole Kmet. They had to do some things to make sure Caleb is better at his job. And it started with the offensive line. You know, I think Caleb's sacks are down 11%. Solely because, one, he's taking care of the ball. He knows where to go with the football. And, two, they're protecting him. Mm. And then Ben Johnson built a run game around him. So he's not the end-all, be-all. That they have another aspect of the offense they can lean on in case he's not on par or he's not where he needs to be. Now, he seems like he's starting to catch up. He didn't play great Sunday. I think they were like 2-for-10 on third down.
Finished well, though.
They finished well.
Yes.
And they feel like they have a quarterback for the future. So I think some organizations, they fool themselves by just getting a guy. I think he's going to, you know, mask all their deficiencies. This is a team sport. You need a team to go out there and compete.
Oh, no doubt. Couple of calls. Here's Anthony and Yonkers. What's up, Ant?
Yeah, listen, man. You guys are talking about how. Merry Christmas, first of all.
You too.
You guys are talking about who could be the Jets quarterback. How about Malik Willis, man? I think he looked impressive. He's been he's more than just a project. You know, he looks like a solid NFL quarterback. What do you think about Malik Willis?
No.
Free agent next year. Free agent,
no.
Huh?
No.
I don't think Willie likes that idea.
At all.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, did okay. I mean, go get me Mac Jones, who actually won games and carried the season until Brock Purdy could get healthy, and now Brock Purdy's starting healthy.
He also reminds you of the quarterback that struggled to start, got the experience, now looks ready to take off.
Right, because of scheme, and now he has enough experience and if he's better.
Oh, but how confident are we that if he came here, the scheme would fit him? You're not going to run the same exact thing he ran in San Francisco.
No, but I think his level of play and his IQ, and I think Tanner Estrange having a second year being a better OC can help, right? Because think about it, when you play quarterback in this league, you just want a quarterback who could win on early downs, first and second, and also be on time with the football. Understand anticipation. We talked about that's why Phillip Rivers is out there, because he can anticipate what the defense is doing to him. So along with Aaron Rodgers, those guys can say, hey, they could be the traffic cop, right? That's what you need out there. And then you allow the playmakers to do what the playmakers do. That's what you need at this level. If you don't have that, then everything's behind. You know, then you can't get the run game going. Right. Then people just pretty much dictate what they want to do with you.
I think, and we were talking about, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers there. I mentioned this yesterday. On one of the drives where Warren scores the 45-yard touchdown run, the back shoulder throw, and I thought Romo did a really good job of with the overhead footage showing how Rodgers lets the ball go. I don't know, Metcalf. I remember it was Scantling.
DK.
Well, it was Metcalf.
It was DK.
He's not even into his break.
And the ball
he turns,
gone.
Ball's there.
Yep.
And it was like, that's a high-level play on both ends.
Yeah, and Dak, there's quarterbacks that can do it. Like, Dak is great at that. Like, Dak plays with anticipation and direction, and he's decisive. You don't want – think about young quarterbacks. When things get hot out there, they're indecisive. What makes the playmakers second-guess themselves.
Right.
What makes the offensive line feel like, you know, the ball's not out on time, it's their fault. So, everything works as a string. And then when it's not connected, is you get bad product. And so you need competent quarterback play.
Here's Gene and Smith now. What up, Gene?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays.
You too.
Just Just on, you know, I really agree with what Willie was saying about kind of, you know, Jets have a lot of needs, best available. Here's my scenario. If one of the if Mendoza happens to drop to the Jets, whether they're at 3 or 4, or even if they get the Colts pick, which ends up could be a top 10, would Willie be okay taking Mendoza without giving up any draft capital? Second part is what quarterbacks might be out there, you know, in the NFL that might be a good fit. The guy mentioned Willis, but somebody else.
Well, Willie has already mentioned Drake May as one that he likes a lot.
Drake May, Mac Jones.
I mean, Mac Jones. Sorry.
Yeah, Mac
Drake
Jones
May would be great.
Drake May is not Mac going Jones. Anyway. Sorry. No, it's fine. No, Mac Jones. I like Kyler Murray. If they can make a play for him, I like that. Overall, man, you just need somebody who can keep it honest and clean out there, and that's not always easy. But the Jets have a really good offensive line. They pretty much they signed Josh Myers. They have, you know, Tippmann's not going anywhere. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Vera Tucker, but. I think right now, if going after Mendoza, even if he lands on your lap, doesn't help you because you just need you need a defense.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I think you just have to continue to build this team up. And whatever the plan is, make sure that you're just putting out the best product out there. Like guys who can play, who care about playing, or who you have young, healthy, good talent. Like it just takes time. There's no rush in it. It doesn't seem like they're ready to push Aaron Glenn out the door. So you got to let him to kind of do what he does. But giving him a young quarterback and trying to develop him, I think it seems like we've been here before.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, last one for this segment, Scotty G in Long Island. What up, Scotty?
Woody and Jerry, guys, happy holidays. I'm just so frustrated as a Jet fan. I can't take it anymore. The dysfunction, the head coaches, the coaches, who is developing these players into a good competitive team? AG, I love him as a player. Don't get me wrong, Willie, but I just want to know who is taking this team to another level. All the good teams have head coaches that really know what they're doing, and you could see they have a plan. My question is, does AG have a plan? Can he develop a young player? Can he take a Mac Jones and develop it into a competitive team with the right pieces around him? I just can't even watch this anymore. Please help me.
Help me.
He's right. I mean, it's not good, but I also think you got to give Aaron Glenn a chance to figure it out. And I think being impulsive and saying, let's get rid of him because things haven't transpired into the way we hope so, it doesn't help anything. I think right now you got to get a quarterback. Get yourself a bridge quarterback. Get yourself somebody who at least has enough experience and IQ. Justin Fields wasn't it. I thought that was a bad – from the door, I thought that was bad because Justin Fields put on enough bad tape. We realized that he wasn't going to be the difference maker. But they sold it to us. We believed it, and then it didn't work out. However, I think you continue to figure out how you can build this defense up. Like, you got to get better edge pressure. You got to figure out how you're going to clean it up in the back end and kind of keep moving forward. I think offensively we're not far off. We just need a quarterback.
Scranton, it's Rich kicking off the 11 o'clock hour. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, Mark, how you doing? Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Rich.
I just wanted to talk about the Jets. First, before I have a question about what do you think the Jets would trade up? What would the offer to get Mendoza? And would it be worth it to lose everything for getting a quarterback?
Well, where are the Jets sitting in regards to the number one overall
pick? Right now they're sitting 4. But even if they went as high as even 2 or 3, they said, like, Mendoza is such a high price that they might have to give up, trade their first-round pick from 4-1 or 3-1. They give up their, right now it would be the 18th, and then maybe one of their second-round picks. That's an awful lot when you need a lot of help.
Yeah, but if you get the quarterback, it's all worth it. Rich, regardless of the capital, then, and it really, there's a number of factors there that comes into play, right, in terms of the cost value. What would it cost the Jets to move up, right?
Right.
You know, say for argument's sake, it's the Giants. They've got their quarterback in Jackson Dart. Anyone that says otherwise has no idea what the hell they're talking about. But if you say the Giants end up with a number one overall pick, right? What's the bidding war? How many teams are interested in trying to move up to get a Mendoza, right? How many teams have fallen in love with him, right? So that's factor number one,
right? Factor number two is where would the Giants be willing to move down to still get the caliber of player that they're looking for, right? That's factor number two. And then number three is whatever you give up, and I understand that there's nobody that likes draft picks more than the NFL fan. If you don't have the quarterback and you have targeted one, you better go get the quarterback because that changes everything. It changes everything. So if it costs you, you know, if you're sitting there at three, for argument's sake, and to go up to one and it costs you the third overall pick, it costs you another first round draft choice, and it costs you a second round pick to go get your quarterback, and he ends up being the answer for the next 15 years, it's all worth it.
Right, that's worth it. But look at what the Jets did before. This is what I'm afraid of. They really had their foundation. We didn't know then when they had Darnold. When they got rid of Darnold and got Zach Wilson, and that really destroyed the foundation. And they've been rebuilding ever since because they promised Darnold they would get an offensive line.
Douglas told his parents, we're going to do everything we can to support Darnold.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he never did.
Right.
And, then
real
then
as Pat Riley famously said about LeBron James, real intentions behind smiling faces.
Yeah. And that's really, I think the Jets can't recover since then because Darnold never had an offensive line. Zach Wilson comes in, and he was actually terrible. And now we're seeing what Sam Darnold's worth. Like, he has a decent line, and he's been playing great football ever since Minnesota going to Seattle now. And it hurts being a Jet fan.
But think about, Rich, think about the road and the time it took for Sam, right? The amount of time it took for him to develop. You know, Carolina, back up in San Francisco with the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan gets an opportunity in Minnesota after McCarthy tears up his knee during the course of training camp, steps in, obviously has that unbelievable year. People don't want to lean into it. Then obviously crashes and burns at the end of the year, hits the offseason of free agency, gets a contract that is very team-friendly in terms of its structure with the Seattle Seahawks this year, and has had a really good year, right? He's got talented players around him. Jackson Smith and Jigba has been really, really good this year. From a production standpoint, he's probably been the best wide receiver in the National Football League. So, you know, it's taken a while for Sam. Athletically inclined, one of the more gifted quarterbacks that has ever stepped foot on the field out at USC in Southern Cal. You know, penchant for turning the football over and obviously does not react well, as most quarterbacks do, dealing with pressure, especially in his face. So that's been Darnold. Were the Jets going to be patient enough to wait that kind? Did they do a great job of developing and building around him? And no, they didn't. And that's really kind of the learning curve that you get. It's one thing to draft the quarterback. Now the question is, what do you do to develop said quarterback? Right. And so, you know, you look at Caleb Williams this year with the Chicago Bears, right? And even though Ben Johnson was not part of the coaching staff when they drafted him, well, they realized and said, okay, we've got a really talented quarterback, and whatever you feel about Caleb Williams, there's no doubt he's ridiculously talented. And his arm strength and his arm talent is off the charts. So they brought in an offensive mastermind in Ben Johnson, right? So and now we've seen what Williams, and you know, wasn't great Saturday night against the Green Bay Packers, but was great when he needed to be. And that's
pass was incredible though by him.
Was incredible, right? So, you know, and they're just scratching the surface, they hope, of what Caleb Williams is now going to be in Chicago. So for the Jets here, the learning lesson is this is, okay, well, if I target the guy and I wholeheartedly believe that Mendoza out of Indiana is a franchise quarterback and is going to take my franchise to another level, no matter what I give up, it'll be worth it.
Right. I hope you just give him time. If they do go that way, give the kid time. Don't give up after one or two seasons when you fire a coach and no one comes in, or a new GM, and do what Douglas did by just giving up on Darnold and not building around him. I hope the Jets, if they do get Mendoza, which, look at, we need a quarterback, but please let the kid learn.
Yeah,
build a team around him.
Well, that's true, right? And I heard, you know, Willie and Jerry talking this morning, and they brought up Mahomes out there in Kansas City, and Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith, but they had built that team around him, you know, to where he could step in and be successful. Now, Mahomes is obviously ridiculously talented. Now, does that, you know, can you have that scenario and situation time and time again in the National Football League? No, I think that's more of an outlier than anything else. I think teams that end up bringing in a, you know, look and resemble similar teams like we've seen this year with the Tennessee Titans, like we see with the New York Giants, where you get the quarterback, and then there are other significant issues within the team, whether it be the head coach or whether it be a talent perspective when you're looking at the roster. Let's head out to Waterbury, Connecticut. It's Jason. It's the fan. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, Mark, great to talk to you, man. I tell you, I love every time you're on, brother. You're great, man.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate it, man. I've been to Waterbury, Connecticut. No doubt, I've been to Waterbury, Connecticut for hockey. It's
yeah, you fantastic. Know what? Yeah. I actually work in Stanford too, so I don't want to say that. I know you live out there, but
yeah, it's okay. I live in Stanford, Connecticut. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
I'm actually close to you out there, so I always think about coming by. You know, I would never want to do that, so. But I mean, it'd just be great to meet you. You're that great, you know, Mike.
No,
all that. So
You want to hear a good story? Here's a funny story about someone knocking on my door when I first moved to Stanford, Connecticut. Right, and I think this was before. this was before Gregory was born, right? It was like middle of the day. I forget what it was. I was working, you know, mostly nights here at FAN and obviously at SNY at the time. And, you know, a lady knocks on the door and I was like, hey, and I thought it was, you know, someone dropping off a delivery or something like that. And she introduced herself. I said, she's like, I'm a huge fan. I'm like, oh, nice to meet you. Pleasure. This and that. And she's like, could you help me get in contact with Aaron Judge? And I was like, I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I've got an event coming up and it's for charity and this and that. I was like, well, and I think I put her in contact with somebody with the Yankees, but I was like, not really.
Well,
I
don't think I can.
Hold on a second. Let me pull them up on the old Rolodex and look on the phone. No, I don't. I'm sorry. I can't get you in touch with Aaron Judge, but I appreciate it. Nice meeting you. And I appreciate that you listen.
That's pretty awesome, man. What did you do in Waterbury when you were here?
Watched Mite Hockey, I think it was. We were all over the place in Connecticut. You know, Norwalk, Waterbury, awesome, Ridgefield. I mean, all over the place in Connecticut.
I definitely understand that, bro. So Merry Christmas to you guys.
You as well.
Two things. Listen, first on the Jets, if the Jets would have hired McCarthy, him and Darnold would still be here, but that's how dysfunctional the Jets are. And then for the Mets, you know, in baseball, there's no cap. This is New York. You could spend any amount of money you want, any player. So the Mets are, you know, this small market GM always, you know, counting prospects and doing what he's always doing. First of all, you don't let great players leave the place. So when you got guys like Diaz and you got guys like Alonso, I don't care about Nimmo and McNeil. Those guys are expendable. They could leave. But you got to keep great players here, and there's no way you can lose Diaz, who's the best closer in baseball since Mariano Rivera, losing the $5 million. So that's an embarrassment. Number two, Bo Bichette's out there. Yeah, they could trade McNeil, Nimmo all they want to Texas, but you don't need to bring Simeon back when you could go out there and spend money on Bo Bichette. So this small market GM, he doesn't have an idea of me in a big market how to build a baseball team. All you have to do is spend money. You got Bellinger out there, and then last year you talk about with the starting rotation. When this team was going down drain last year during the trade, you know, before the trade deadline, this guy should have been on the phone. I don't care who he brought in here. I don't care what kind of starting pitcher you brought in here. You got six teams that make the playoffs in each league. This is New York. You go out there, and I don't care about prospects. You make deals for starting pitching. I don't care where it comes from. You saw what Senga, what happened to Senga. He couldn't come back up here and pitch. This guy, Steve Cohen, he's got unlimited resources. How do you just sit on your hands and not make any
of
these
deals?
Well,
it's not done yet. I mean, Jason, I appreciate the passion. Yeah. It's just not done yet. I mean, and he's not finished. The product is not done. The roster is not complete. The Mets have not, and, you know, David Stearns has not stepped away from the operating table and said, you know, we're good and moving forward. I mean, that is it. So, I mean, if you're going to grade him now, you'd give him an incomplete. Because it's not done yet. Let's see exactly where it does land. And listen, I think the dream scenario is you take a guy that's got a modern-day MLB baseball view, however way you view that. And I think there's got to be a balance between the way that you use analytics, and I think you got to look at the eyeball scouting, everything that comes along with it. You can't take out the fact that, you know, the blood and flesh and the human beings are going out there and playing this game on a day-in, day-out basis. And there are some guys that can and some guys that can't, especially when the pressure is mounted and ramped up, right? You see it day-in and day-life. And especially you see it in professional sports. Guys either can go out there in basketball, make the free throws to go out there and win the game late, and guys all of a sudden, if they're good free throw shooters, all of a sudden feel the pressure of that late moment and can't go out there and do what they normally do when the pressure is not on them. So when you look at Stearns, I think the perfect scenario is you take his baseball acumen, his vision, and you've got the financial wherewithal of the richest singular owner in a Major League Baseball in Cohen, and you think it's going to equate to success. And listen, you know, Stearns might also be like, we don't need to spend like the Los Angeles Dodgers to win, and I'm going to show you. Franklin Park, New Jersey. Like I said, though, better be right. It's Jay. It's the fan. What's going on, Jay?
Thanks so much for taking my call. It's like getting into Mike and the Mad Dog with you today. It's crazy. So I just want to say, first of all, at the end of the summer, I said I'd love to see Nimmo and McNeil gone to change up the core. I'm a huge Pete fan. I wanted to see them sign Pete. But I definitely agree with the idea of changing the core. Here's my issue with Stearns, and I haven't really heard people sort of voice it in this way. He's a smart guy. I get it. I believe that he actually is the kind of person who's going to set the franchise up for success. But the issue I see with him is that using whatever analytics he's using, he's determining what value to put on a player that's like a year and monetary value. And that's great. Like, I get it. Except that he's unwilling to move past that. And the result of that is that other teams sign those players. So you could be as smart as you want and say this player with this skill set who puts up these numbers is valued at this for me. But if you don't end up getting those players, all the other teams around you get better. And that's what's happening right now. That's my issue with what Stearns is doing. Granted, Bellinger and Tucker have not been signed. And if we get one of those guys at a minimum, like, yeah, that changes my mind a bit. I get that. But my issue is that we're seeing it. We're seeing he puts a number on Diaz.
Right, he's stuck in the mud. Right, then, he's stuck in the mud.
Yes.
Right. I get it. You know, I'm putting this valuation on a player. That's it. If he's willing to come here, if not, c'est la vie. We're moving on without him.
And again, that's fine. Like, I agree with it in principle, but everybody else around you gets better because the Dodgers are willing to pay more for that and they get better. And the Orioles are willing to pay more for Pete and they get better. And we're sitting here trying to find the guys that fit into where Stearns values them while everybody else gets better around us. That's my issue.
Jay, it's a fair criticism. It's kind of ironic, you know, just the way then you were going through that, Jay, that for years, Met fans, we used to complain about the lack of spending when it comes to Fred Wilpon, Jeff Wilpon, Saul Katz, right? Now yep. You've got an owner that's worth north of $22 billion, and now you got a president that maybe doesn't want to spend to that level. I mean, it's kind of like when you think about it,
no.
It's kind of ironic when now the Met fan is not frustrated with Cohen because I'm not saying Steve's not going to spend money. He's going to spend money. And, you know, he pushed back the other day on the Post story and got into it on social media because he does not want to be portrayed in that light. Like, he's not going to go out there and talk about cutting down. Like, they put in an extra tax in Major League Baseball because of the Steve Cohen tax. There was the fear of God from other MLB owners of him owning a team in Major League Baseball. So, like, he's going to spend. But I think when you look at the vision of Stearns here, I think it's a matter of he's going to spend it in a certain way. And he's going to spend it on players that he's going to lean into. And I don't disagree with you, Jay, in terms of the assessment saying, if we can get a player at our number, we'll bring that player back. If not, we're okay with that player leaving.
And I think what Stearns needs, and we're all talking about this, I think Stearns needs to value the fact that we have the guy who will pay more. So now use all that acumen that you have, use that incredible brain you have, and then say, you know what, we need Edwin Diaz back. So you know what, we're going to add a fourth year because nobody else is, and we have an owner who can pay for that. And his issue is that he says he's not worth that, so we're not going to offer him the deal. And so I don't need to say it over and over again.
I don't disagree. And the Dodgers, regardless of, you know, in the next 2 years, if they win back-to-back World Series, and then Diaz drops off not literally drops off a cliff, but, you know, all of a sudden he's no longer an elite-level closer, they don't care. Ultimately, they went out, they just want to win. And they're willing to spend above and beyond to go out there and do it. Good call, Jay. Appreciate it.
I actually thought we would come in and talk about the Knicks from last night, but then I find out that the Jets, you know, put Justin Fields on IR and, you know, football is king right now. So we will get to the Knicks in a little while. But, you know, I had this thought, couple on the Giants, but this one on the Jets. as we've looked back, there's been a lot that's gone wrong with this team this year. And we talked a lot about the Jets yesterday, and we'll continue to as the season is coming to a close sooner rather than later, thankfully. Did it all go wrong with that decision at quarterback?
With Justin Fields?
Yeah, meaning, you know, when the Jets first signed him, and I understood why they signed him, and I was one of those out there that didn't think it was a bad idea, given the fact he had a winning record with Pittsburgh, or Pittsburgh had a winning record with him.
Yeah.
And I really went back, and I was trying, you know, I looked at his final year in Chicago, and I thought he was actually getting better if you looked at the trajectory of his career, which wasn't great, but it seemed like he was moving in the right direction. But now, with the information we have, and really, aside from week one against Pittsburgh, it's been so bad, and now it's over, and very well, we may never see him in a Jet uniform again. Mm-hmm. Is that the biggest issue this team's had, or where it really went wrong?
Well, especially going into the season, I think, because it started with AG. AG stood on the table for him and said, hey, we're going to really put a system around him. We're going to wrap. We're going to make sure what he can do well, we're going to kind of elevate that, and it never happened. I think the biggest issue with, you know, Justin Fields is he just never quite got right. His mechanics continued to be an issue. He was always late with the football. And his biggest skill set was his legs. But then, you know, you go week one against the Steelers, as you mentioned.
It was like, great.
He wasn't just using his legs. He was throwing the football. And he was decisive with it. And he was on time with. And it seemed like the offense really had, like, this pop. You're like, okay, we took the L, but look, hey, we beat up the Steelers in the run game. Justin Fields looked like he was competent and efficient. Okay, we can move on to week two. And then it didn't really kind of turn over. And then he had the big game against Cincinnati, which was against the Bengals. I think he threw for 244 yards. And he said, oh, okay, he's all right. And then it kind of tailspinned again. And then it's tough because I know they wanted him. I know there was talks about him being a part of that Wildcat package. They want to kind of implement that, and he said no, because if I become a, you know, Wildcat quarterback, then you're going to pigeonhole me. Then, you know, I want to be considered in a different light. So that didn't come into fruition. I think Justin Fields, I think it's easy to say he's going to be a backup. I don't think he'll have another nod to be a starter in this league. It's tough, and I also think I think he's probably come and told the Jets, like, hey, man, I think I'm done. I think I'm...
Like, it's run its course here.
Yeah, like, I'm not going out there. Supposedly he has a sore knee, right? Okay? Who's not sore this time of year?
Of course.
And I think he's just going to ride it out and be done with the New York Jets.
How real is it when you've got a team, you know, that sees a quarterback that doesn't feel too threatened? Then again, I don't mean to be picking on him by any stretch, but...
What do you mean by threatened?
So, if you've got, let's say, Patrick Mahomes, who can throw the ball 80 yards down the field with precision and can do everything, you, I would imagine, defend it differently. When you're facing a quarterback with limitations, how much more, how real is it that those defenses just attack the offense differently?
Well, the issue with Justin Fields was he was just slow to process the game. So defenses were stacking the box, and they were forcing him to speed up his process, right? And so when you're one indecisive and you're not able to process what the defense is trying to do, that's what makes Phillip Rivers and what he did Monday night against the Niners so impressive and so elite. Because Robert Saleh, and Aikman said it in the broadcast, he goes, Robert Saleh, I guess whatever production meeting they had, Saleh talked about, they had certain packages to really kind of speed Phillip up and kind of, you know, get him out of rhythm. They knew he had the ability to kind of play traffic cop. Phillip got to the line and had the answers to every test Saleh threw at him. And marched down the field. You know, the only thing that kind of hurt the Colts in that game was they had that turnover after they scored that one drive. And then the defense really couldn't hold up, and Brock Purdy got hot and kind of unraveled. But if you turn on that tape, Phillip is literally picking them apart before the ball's even snapped, because he just knows where to go with the football. And valid, listen, Phillip Rivers is a 9-time Pro Bowler. He is who he is, future Hall of Famer, yada, yada, yada. But when you're elite and when you're an elite quarterback and you have, from the neck up, you can process what's coming at you before the ball's in your hand, that just keeps you on time, man. That keeps everybody on time. And Justin just struggled with that aspect of the game.
Based on what you just said and a lot of the video footage that NFL Films puts out. So, like, for example, before I get to the question, they have the Kenneth Gainwell play from Detroit on Sunday, where he falls down and makes the catch and then gets up. The
touchdown, yeah.
Yeah.
They end up calling it a touchdown, yeah.
So NFL Films.
Have you seen the clip?
Yeah.
Where Rodgers is like, hey, just run the go.
That's exactly where I was going. So they released for anybody that's not out there, check it out on social media. They put out a clip of Rodgers looking at the defense and then turning to Gainwell and says, hey, just run a fly pattern. Yep. I'm coming to you.
Yep.
And he takes the snap. He looks left, and then he gets pressured a little bit as he turns back right to throw it. Now, he wasn't wide open. It didn't work out the way you might have thought.
Yeah, but right here.
But he great saw catch, what he saw from the defense and was able to change. And then we heard the Kirk Cousins stuff the other day about the way you have to process the defense. So we put so much stock. There are so many misses in terms of selecting quarterbacks in the draft. I've made a list. I can print it. Well, I can't print it because the printers don't work, but I can find it for you. And so many quarterbacks wind up getting drafted higher than they might or should because of their, I love this word today, their arm talent, their arm strength, because they can throw the ball down the field.
The intangibles.
Why is it not more important for GMs and the front offices to be able to evaluate what's between the ears and what they see in process? If that, because it certainly seems like being able to read the defenses is the most important thing
this
a quarterback needs.
100%.
So why is that not the prime, you know, category that they need to figure out?
Because you can't knock a guy from what he's been taught, right? Like certain guys, because they're athletic, they can do things, and if the scheme can protect them, you can put him in that situation. Like if you have an RPO quarterback where he's just seeing one side of the field, get it there. If not, run. You know, there's things you can mask a quarterback's deficiency. And kind of what I talked about yesterday, these quarterbacks aren't put in the system, especially because of NIL. These guys are bouncing from system. Mm-hmm. So there's no foundation of what they can do and how they can grow and how they can process things, because every system calls for a different requirement. So now you're looking at a guy who may come from a pro style, who may go into run RPOs, who may be asked to do different things, and by the time he gets the nod to probably get to the NFL, he's been in two or three systems, and now he gets to the league, and now if you're an OC, if you're a quarterback coach, you're just trying to figure out what the kid knows. And once you get him to the table, you get him on the board, you say, all right, this is what you do know, this is what you can't know. And then you try to shave it down and figure out what's best for him in that operation. And it takes time. And unfortunately, a lot of these organizations and teams are impatient. They're impulsive. They want to win now.
Which I understand. I guess where I'm going with this is I couldn't give you every example, but there have been plenty of quarterbacks that have been taken because they have turned heads at the combine.
Yeah.
Because they can throw the ball a country mile.
Zach Wilson.
And they can, I wasn't going to go there, but yes.
But that was the thing about Zach Wilson. That was a great example. Zach Wilson supposedly had all this big arm talent, could run, he was Roger-esque, right, as they say.
Made the one throw, and all of a sudden he went from maybe he could play quarterback into the NFL. We got to draft him second.
Like, yeah.
Why not then? And I've never been to the combine other than I've seen it on NFL Network. It looks goofy to me, but I understand why they do it to a certain degree. Why not have these guys then have to line up and throw these different coverages at them? They spend gobs of money to do it anyway. If you're the front office, wouldn't you rather see what they see and process if that is the most important skill for the quarterback?
I also think a lot of coaches feel like they can get a guy right, even though he's deficient in some areas. Mm. But you got to have... One, you got to believe that he's from the neck up capable of that. And then two, you got to believe you can deliver, right? Because, yeah, a lot of coaches feel like, no, I can take him. Just give him to me. We can shave him down and we can get him right. But all that takes time. That's why if you look at Caleb Williams and what he's been able to do in his second year, you got to credit Ben Johnson, because Ben Johnson said, hey, man, I'm not going to have this kid sit in the well, throw the ball 40 times a game. I'm going to get him a run game. I'm going to get him some outs on the outside. I just want him to process the game slowly. And then you started seeing Caleb in clutch moments be him, but also deliver at times. Because I remember the game against, it was Chicago versus the Saints. He wasn't great, but when you turn on the tape, the Bears ended up winning that game. He was efficient enough. And sometimes that's what you just need out of a young quarterback. Just be efficient enough, and we can erase the uglies down the road.
When I get into downtime mode, decompress mode on a Sunday night, I go to YouTube. And there are certain things that are must-watches for me. Number one, I do like to watch, it used to be a Brian Daboll press conference. Now it's the Jackson Dart press conference, especially when they let him throw 13 times and throws for 33 yards. How can you not watch that? I find that amusing. The other one, which has become a must-watch, and I mean for almost the entire entirety of the season has been, has SNY yet posted the first segment of Jets Post Game Live? Because what you guys do on a every Sunday night basis is comical, and I feel for you. So, like, I turned it on Sunday night after this latest game that they played, which was just a disaster in New Orleans. I'm like, how are they going to put lipstick on a pig tonight? And you guys are great. You don't. You guys are critical. But, God, that's got to be hard to sit there and do this every Sunday night.
And we've been doing it for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. I think, you know, I credit Gelbs and Bart and Connor Rogers, who I think is awesome and super talented, man. We collectively have to not just show our frustration, but also understand, like, man, at some point, it's going to get good, right? Like, we have to be optimistic, but also be realistic. And I think a lot of Jets fans come to us and treat us like therapy. Like, we're in therapy, and we appreciate all the love and support, but it's not easy because this is a team, especially at the beginning of this season, and this is Aaron Glenn's words, that the product was going to be different. It was going to be something that we should be proud of, and nothing has worked. Nothing.
No, and there's really nothing to be proud of, quite frankly. You know, he talked about effort the other night, you know, the game in New Orleans on Sunday. Okay, you lost 26 to whatever it was to right. Now, they're better. New Orleans is better as the season's gone on, but I think therein lies the problem. I think, I could be wrong, but I think Jet fans were hoping that as the season went on, the product would get better. I don't think any Jet fan thought this was going to be a playoff team or a Super Bowl team, but I think what they were hoping for is kind of like what New Orleans is going through right now, and to a much lesser degree because they're a playoff team going to win the division. Like what Ben Johnson said the other night when they beat Green Bay, one of the reporters said, why did you think you'd be better in December than you were in September? Mm. And he basically said, because rookies are learning, and the more they play, the better they get.
Correct.
The more that the team understands the system and the plays we're calling, the more cohesive it becomes. The quarterback sees the field better as the season goes on. And so he believed that the ascent starts in August, and you hope you're peaking in December. And I think Jet fans were hoping that at least the product looks better. And I know the quarterback's a big part of it. I get that. But this product is terrible.
It's bad. And I think after week one, especially against, you know, the game they had against the Steelers week one, everybody was like, yeah, they lost. But, man.
They played well.
They came out like gangbusters. They're fighting and scrapping. They had that one, you know, turnover that killed them in the game on special teams. However, you know, you just thought, like, man, we finally saw an outfit that was competing and fighting and scrapping. Okay, Aaron Glenn, thank you. Let's move forward. And then everything down from there on kind of tailspin and nothing came into fruition. And then even after they let Sauce Gardner and Quentin Williams go, I felt like the team did play better. You know, that Baltimore game, if Breece Hall doesn't fumble, they possibly win that game. Then sure. The game after that, they were competitive. Then they took a nosedive again. And I think for a lot of fans, they're like, man, I don't know what it is. I don't know what we're looking at. I don't know what to hope for. I think a lot of Jets fans are just kind of just stuck in this rut of limbo where they're like, man, I guess, I don't know, you just kind of got to figure it out as it goes. And when you don't have a competent quarterback and you told this Jet fan base that Justin Fields was going to be the guy to kind of give you some type of spark, and that was an absolute failure, you're just stuck. I think a lot of Jets fans just feel stuck and miserable right now.
I don't know how you couldn't. And the Giant fans are probably feeling the same way, though I think feel good about the quarterback. And then, you know, I said yesterday morning when I did the 5-6 by myself, when I watched the Jets and the Giants, compared to high-level football like we see when the Rams play the Seahawks, like we see when the Broncos play the Jaguars. Last night, to a lesser degree, because the Colts couldn't really keep up with San Francisco, but you see how well San Francisco plays, and that NFC West is unbelievable.
They've been great, man.
It feels like we are watching a much lesser product that doesn't belong on the same field with these teams. And it feels like they are worlds away from competing.
And you know, it's tough for me, Jared, because I was on the field when Detroit was really bad, when fans were showing up putting brown bags on their hands. So, you know, I was in the stadium when Cleveland is, you know, they're 3-12 right now. They're dealing with a rookie quarterback, but at least they can hang their hat on a defense that can go out there and at least put up a fight. You know, I was around those teams where it was just like, They were bad, right? And now to see how we view Detroit, especially, you know, if Cleveland ever gets their quarterback situation, considering their division in, they can be competitive and be somewhere, you know, and hopefully playing for meaningful games in December. right now, the Jets, I just don't know what they can hang their hat on. I just don't know what's a bright spot for the team. And I think that's the most frustrating part about the Jets right now. You look at both sides of the ball. I mean, should we be happy that we have a really good special teams unit? Like, that's the one thing that we can say, okay, like, we can compete.
Great. Your kicker's 48 years old.
Right. But the kid Isaiah Washington is solid, right? But that's what we kind of got right now. Nothing's good.
Well, I think the thing for me when I look at the Jets is, have we for the last handful of years going into each season, have we overrated the defense? Because I feel like you asked the question, what do you hang your hat on? And I think most Jet fans the last couple of years would have hung their hat on the defense. Mm-hmm. Now, Aaron Rodgers coming in, you would have thought that was going to go really well. The injury, all right, fine. But you still felt like you had the defense that was going to keep you in games. And I will go back to last season when Rodgers clearly was still coming back from the injury and was not 100%. They were still losing games where they had the lead late and the defense couldn't get a stop.
Correct.
So I would ask you, have we as fans, as media, have we overrated that group for the last 3, 4, 5 years?
No, because I thought Saleh did a really good job his first year with the team, especially defensively. And then I thought, certain things kind of failed us along the way. We thought Sauce was going to – listen, we thought Sauce Gardner was going to still be here. After his first 2 years, he kind of took a dive. I love DJ Reed now. He's in Detroit. He took off on us. We took a shot on Cisco coming out of Jacksonville. He's been a failure. Our linebacker core has been, spotty at best, especially since we lost CJ Mosley. We didn't get the best out of him.
Right, so aren't you answering my question then?
I am, but I'm also saying I think a lot of what happened to this defense is when they showed it a lot early. They've been losing, and I think we're watching guys really looking like – I think we're watching guys care for themselves rather than believe in a system. And you can't blame them when you've been dealing with all this loss. So it's a lot. It's a lot for every guy in a green helmet.
No question. And you got these games here, and the NFL is a problem, in my opinion, because we're at a point, and we have been now for a couple of years, but it feels like to me now more than ever it's about who can – the race to lose – and
that's interesting.
It's still an NFL product, and yet I don't disagree with people. Like, I know C-Mac's been on this for, a couple of years now, that you got to lose, get the number one pick. He's not wrong, and yet it's still a game played by professionals that can't go out there to try to lose, and if they do try to lose, it looks like a complete and utter mess. I don't know.
There's a level of competency and efficiency you have to play the game at. And when you don't meet that standard, it looks like a dumpster fire.
Right.
And the product looks
like it's terrible.
You if the game could be played at 7 a.m. on American soil, you'd rather that game. Like, you just, there's just still has to be some type of professionalism you have to see. And when you don't meet that standard, it's like, oh, we got bigger issues. And then that's what the Jets have right now.
Right. And it's not just the Jets. It's a lot of these teams that are on the bottom rung of the league.
Like the Raiders.
The Raiders are another. Now, I would not be surprised because I don't know if Pete Carroll's going to be there next year with the way the season's gone.
I think they give him one more year.
Maybe. Yeah. But who knows? I mean,
he's old as hell.
He is 72, I believe. He's a young 72, though. I mean, Pete Carroll's running up and down.
A young 72?
100%. There are old 72s and there are young 72s.
Well, I'm a young 42 then.
I would agree. And there are old 42s.
Does an old 42 look like? My back!
Gray, fat, sloppy, and right, back issues. That would be one of them. But this game this weekend, like, why would you put it on? Like, if you look at, I haven't looked at the schedule, but you've got the teams, the top-tier teams that are jockeying for position, that are going for the number one seed. And then you got these other teams at the bottom, and it's just... And I don't know if a draft lottery is the answer to where you don't think about, I hate using the word, but the tanking for the number one spot. And if you're the Jets, what's the point in winning at this point? And that's what I mean. Like, that's the issue.
Well, that's why they're starting Brady Cook and not Tyrod Taylor. I think they're going to keep pushing Brady Cook out there. They understand what it is. That's them tanking without saying they're tanking. So that's how I see it.
Yeah.
Tyrod's pretty much healthy. Garrett Wilson has a sore knee. They've set him down. And so they're not giving Breece as many touches because they don't want to they got to roll him out there, but they don't want to give him, a lot of carries because they need him, he's part of the plan next season.
Right. So I love this too. So that's the other thing. You're going to play this guy? What if he gets hurt? Yeah. What are you supposed to do?
But you're starting to see signs of them saying we're tanking without tanking. And so,
well, in their case, yes. I just mean for the teams that are not playoff bound. Now you get to the point where you've got 2 weeks left in the season, and you're going. You have situations where coaches have to now think, or they keep being asked questions about: are you going to play him? What if he gets hurt? You saw what happened, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
What if he tears his ACL in a meaningless game? You don't have him next year. Like, right. I don't know what you're supposed. Then just shut it down. Don't play then.
Which is fair, but I think you just got to own it. If you're a head coach, like if you feel like you're not going into the postseason and you got a guy who is a part of the big picture next year, it's like, hey, man, we're shutting down. Just be honest with it. I think fans respect that, and then roll them out there. And like to your point, you try to get out of bounds, roll your ankle, and now it's a knee, then you're out in the offseason, and then you got another headline that you got to answer. So I think a lot of bad teams just own where you're at.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.